So for Christmas Eve, I try to do something that is a little bit not normal for Christmas. And ever thought why the angels rejoiced? Jesus didn't come to save them. He didn't come for them. So why in the world were they rejoicing? It was definitely not an ordinary day. But it was a day that they had long awaited for. Ever since Adam and Eve rejected God and sinned, the angels were anticipating the Savior, because that was the promise. For that Savior to come and save God's people. And I think the angels were overjoyed with God's plan for his creation being revealed on that day. They had been waiting for it, and all of a sudden, here's like a new chapter, and it's like, ah, it's happening right now. But I want to just back up to the beginning of creation. And according to the Bible, the creation of the angels happened before then. It says in Job's 38, 1 through 7, says, "Out of a storm the Lord said to Job, 'Why do you talk so much when you know so little?'" I think that God could say that to all of us. "Now get ready to face me. Can you answer the questions I ask? How did I lay the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Doubtless, you know who decided its length and width. What support the foundation? Who placed the cornerstone? While the morning stars sang and the angels rejoiced." Did you hear that? The angels were rejoicing on the day of creation of the earth. And they were rejoicing because it's like they're beginning to see this plan unfold. And I think we often forget that anything God does is glorious because it reveals who he is. And like a master artist working on a painting, each stroke of the paintbrush reveals more of the masterpiece. But only the artist knows what it eventually looked like. When God began creating the world and then Adam and Eve, did the angels begin to understand even more why God created them? Scriptures say the angels were created to worship and serve God, but also to serve his purposes with mankind. We need to remember that God was self-sufficient, which means he needed nothing from his creation, for God was perfectly complete in the Trinity. So why did God create angels? The earth and mankind. I think it's important to understand this, because it's all about God being glorified. That makes him seem like an egotistical God who needs his pride stroked by our worship of him. And who wants to serve a God like that? But what if God created everything because he wanted to be known for who he is? Also, what if God created angels to love and serve him versus being minions, forced to do his will, and thus not having a loving relationship with their creator? Sounds kind of sick to me if the latter is true. But if being created to be worshiped and loved for who he is true, that makes me want to know him more. Any plan has a purpose, otherwise the result is chaos and disorder, which is an evidence of no plan at all. God is omniscient, that is all-knowing, and described in the Bible as him knowing the end from the beginning. So you must have a clear purpose for his creation. God's plan was formed in eternity before creation began. It is not a plan of reacting to the free will of his creation, but allowing free will within the confines of his sovereign plan. His plan has no error. For if there's error, then God's not God. He's just a demigod, powerful but not holy. Also, I think it's important to remember God's thoughts and ways are not like ours at all, for his attributes are perfect, infinitely perfect. And if we're honest about ourselves, there's nothing perfect about us. I say this because we all fall short of understanding God's plan for mankind and for us individually. In God's foreknowledge and wisdom, he knew that the devil would rebel and a third of the angels would follow him. What purpose does the devil serve in God's plan? You ever thought about that? Satan is the exact opposite of who God is. God loves, Satan hates and wants to destroy. God is humble. He came in a manger. He was placed in a manger, King of Kings, not born in a palace, humble. And yet Satan was thrown out of heaven because of his pride. God rejoices in life, and the devil rejoices in suffering and death. Do you remember what, if you doubt this, do you remember what the devil did to Job? Inflicted pain and harm. God wants us to repent and come to know him so we can spend eternity with him in heaven. And Satan wants us to condemn us to hell, away from the presence of God. My fear for most people is that they often confuse the heart of the devil with the heart of God. They question why they're suffering and the evil things that happen in this world and blame it on God because he could stop it. But they forget that where there's perfect love, there's also free will. And where there's free will, there are rewards and consequences to our choices. The consequences to Adam and Eve's sins, and therefore our sins, of rejecting God, results of us in living in a fallen, imperfect world where the devil deceives and holds us in bondage. The devil uses fear and hate along with the deception to control us. But God uses love to bring freedom. This freedom only comes by God's grace and love, for we don't deserve it. No matter how good we are, we all sin. In other words, we reject God's ways for what we want. Sin brings death, which means we live for ourselves and not for God. God created us to have a relationship with him, as we see in the beginning in the Garden of Eden when he walked each day with Adam and Eve. Everything changed when they chose to believe the devil and want to be like God. But in God's redemptive plan to reveal who he is, we see throughout the Old Testament God constantly rescuing his people from the consequences of their sins. And yet they continue to sin and weren't able to find complete and lasting peace with God. The law that came through Moses showed us that we were sinners because we could not keep the law. And thus it revealed that we desperately needed a Messiah to save us from our sins. Maybe another way of saying this, no matter how good we are or what we do, doesn't forgive our sins before God. So in God's perfect plan, he came to earth. Remember, this plan was birthed in eternity. He came in the personhood of Jesus Christ and walked among us for the purpose of suffering and dying for our sins. Why? To show us who he is, a God of love who is willing to die for our sins so that we can know him and spend eternity with him. That is why this is the good news of great joy that the angels were rejoicing about and proclaiming to the shepherds. This good news is the pinnacle of God's plan to show us who he is. He's not a God of hate or a God who enjoys people's suffering. But he is a God who loves us so much that he was willing to suffer and die for us so we may be completely forgiven. And because we're forgiven, we can know him for who he really is. And there is still more to this story that hasn't been completed yet. The angels await in anticipation to see God's plan unfold, with Jesus returning again and making all things right. Promise of heaven. There is no more pain. There are no more tears. There is no more suffering or death. Sounds good to me. So let us rejoice in the good news of the birth of Jesus, who led to the forgiveness of our sins. For the scriptures say, all who put their faith in Jesus Christ are forgiven. And because all our sins are forgiven, they are made right before God, and we'll spend eternity with him in heaven. Should this not bring us great joy? So as you celebrate Christmas, spend some time contemplating the priceless gift of Jesus Christ coming to be your Savior. Amen.